As you know, on a Thursday, three Thursdays a month, we get to talk to Vivian Myberg from ICEJ. Good morning, Vivian. Great to have you back this week on Impact 103 FM.
Good morning, Brigitte. It's great to be back and with you again. And yeah, always something to share from Israel's side.
So indeed, indeed. Main topic, main headlines these days for the last couple of weeks has been the Israeli elections. What's happening with the elections happening in Israel?
Yes, so it was elections on Tuesday this week, a public holiday in Israel, and the largest turnout since 1999. I think actually in a sense very similar to the American situation now, where it's all between the left and the right. And of course, the comeback of Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, as he's known, from the Likud party. Many people were hoping that wouldn't happen, but just as many were hoping it would happen, including most of us, because he was very good for Israel's foreign policy and very good at negotiating, you know, with international relations. And as of last night, 97% of the votes were counted. Maybe by now it's a little bit later, but that's the latest news I have. And for those of you that don't know, the Israeli Knesset or parliament is made up of 120 seats. So it's all about getting the majority in that. And within Israeli politics, you have to form a coalition. You will not easily make that on your own. And so his party, the Likud, have come in now with 31 seats. But his coalition partners, which are the more right-wing, more religious parties, make up the balance of the Shaz party with 12 seats, a United Torah, Judaism, with 8 seats. And then the kind of surprise of the day is the religious Zionist party with some very controversial leaders, making up 14 seats, and that would be his coalition. And so that would make up 65 seats of the 120, which gives him a very strong coalition. As many people will know, this is Israel's fifth election in, I think, 4 years. And every coalition has disintegrated because it has been on such a tight line of 60 or 61 seats. And then if one or two people walk away from it, they lose their government and their ruling coalition. So 65 seats puts him quite strongly in a strong coalition and a strong government. Yes, and it's also interesting that Meretz, the very, very liberal left-wing party, one of them, did not make the threshold of 3.25% of the votes, and so they actually don't even have a seat in this election, in this government coming up. Labour Party still has, but Meretz doesn't.
Vivian, in the past, Benjamin Netanyahu has been involved. He has been elected as prime minister or as a leader of Israel. How effective has he been in the past? Do people have confidence in him? Is it a majority of confidence? And I know you just said now he can't get majority at the moment in the House. But how does it work from a, in general, are people quite confident in what he has done in the past and are able to believe that he will do more and be more effective? Should he win to rule in Israel in the next couple of years?
Yes, well, he definitely will be the prime minister. I mean, that looks pretty definite at this point. And I think they've given him his mandate back because the interim governments with the more central, slightly more left-wing, with Yair Lapid recently being the temporary prime minister, and before that Naftali Bennett, who was more central, but he only got into power because he had to make a coalition with more left-wing parties, including for the first time in Israel's history, Arab parties. And you can clearly see that the Israeli electorate did not like that, did not appreciate where things were going. They felt that the government was not acting strongly enough against terror attacks. They were being weak in a sense with the West Bank situation and the settlements that were going on there. They were acting against them. And most of all, I think it's been the foreign policy ever. You know, the Lebanese deal that has just been made by Yair Lapid is very controversial in Israel because effectively they have given Lebanon shares or the right to mine a gas field, which is actually in Israeli boundary sea territory. They're doing this because, of course, they have the other gas field, the Karish field, just off the coast of Haifa, which they've just started mining, and that was coming under tremendous threat from Hezbollah and from Lebanon. And I think they've done this, brokered by America, to protect them while they mine that one. But in the process, they've given away one of the other gas fields, which actually is empowering Hezbollah, which is empowering Iran in the end, although they have framed it in a different way. So it's because of all of these foreign affairs issues that I believe they've given it back to Netanyahu, and they've said, we trust you rather to negotiate and to look after the Israeli interests in this very delicate international affairs and area that Israel finds themselves. And you must remember the Abrahamic Accords was also negotiated under Netanyahu, and that's a very big boost in many ways for that region. So yes, I think that they are trusting Netanyahu, even though there've been attempted corruption charges placed against him, which he presently is undergoing, but they are not sticking, and they are not major corruption charges. He hasn't, you know, stolen money clearly. It's been favors done in the press and favors and cigars that he's received as gifts and things like this. It hasn't been anything that, certainly in South Africa, we would even attempt to charge somebody for. So, yeah, I think they've given it back to him. I think the challenge is that it's a very right-wing government with a lot of the religious right-wing. And so you're going to find a lot of the Jewish laws coming back into the government and into the laws that that they propose and that they push through. And so this will probably polarize Israel even more, because Israel is also a very secular state as well as a very religious state. So we've seen the polarization very similar to what we've seen in America and what we've seen in Brazil with the latest elections.
Vivian, let's bring it to home. How has our relationship been with Israel during the term when Netanyahu was prime minister in the past? And do you think this will be good for South Africa? Would there, obviously, you'd be suggesting, or you'd know from past, if it's been a good thing for South Africa, they've wanted to build relationship with Netanyahu and Israel, or has it very much been, it doesn't really matter, we, from a South African point of view, whoever is prime minister of Israel is prime minister?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. I think the South African government continues to believe in a narrative which is influenced by a Palestinian narrative, and they are really not interested if it's a left-wing, a centralist, or a right-wing government. Of course, South Africa's government officially, like the Biden administration now as well, has reacted in a very cool fashion to Netanyahu coming back into power, and our government will be the same. We are still trusting and praying and working behind the scenes and advocating for key people within our government and within those circles to better understand what's really going on in Israel, to better understand the history, to better understand the fact that Israel is a beacon of human rights, that they are a humane government, that they treat the Palestinians better than the Palestinian leaders treat themselves. So we're still working on that narrative, but our government is, I want to say at least we still have an office in Israel, a kind of an embassy, although it's not operating optimally. At least they haven't closed that down. And the new Israeli ambassador to South Africa, Eli Belotsarkovsky, is a really, really good man. And I believe he's making some inroads, and trust that there'll be something going forward that will be positive for relations between our nations.
We really do trust that South Africa will strengthen their relations with Israel, as it is a biblical mandate that we need to be doing. Let's end off today's discussion with Alia. I know that, I'm sure, should I say, there have been a few South Africans that have made Alia this week or in the last couple of weeks or so.
Yes, we had a aeroplane of 19 South Africans that landed, I think, earlier this week in Israel. So that's very exciting. But just to say that it is the highest rate of Aliyah since for the last 10 years, actually. 64,000 Jews have made Aliyah, have gone back to Israel this year. It's looking like it will be. And over the last 10 years, that's 320,000 Jews that have made Aliyah over the last 10 years. It is interesting to note that of the 64,000 that have gone home and made Israel their home again, almost half of them are Russians. So around 48% have come from Russia, and that's because of the increasing tension and danger they feel to themselves, and also the possibility of them not being able to get out of Russia potentially soon. And then a quarter of that number also is coming from the Ukrainian Jews, that we all know what's going on there and why they've headed home. So, but they're coming from the nations. They're coming from France. They're coming from America. The Ethiopians are continuing to come home. So it really is a very clear picture of the biblical restoration that was spoken about so many thousands of years, that God is bringing his people back from the four corners of the earth and planting them back in his land in these days. And we are witnessing this miracle really before our eyes. daily, actually.
It is such a privilege to be a witness of this. So we know that the scriptures are coming to fruition. Vivian Myburgh from ICEJ in the Stellenbosch branch in South Africa, thank you so much for your time to give us this weekly update on Israel.